is Bleed Tech Blue, the only all-La Tech sports radio show. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue will bring you the best La Tech coverage in the state of Louisiana. Here's your host, Jonathan Ford.
Man, it feels like it's been forever since we've been on the air. I am Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com. Jason Jones will be joining us here shortly. At least I'm hoping he is. And I've also got a guest co-host with us this week, Casey Allen.
Yeah, I'm really hoping Jason shows up here.
You're kind of new to this, aren't you?
A little bit. It's my first time, but you know, sometimes you got to get thrown into the fire.
That's what's happening right now.
And I want everybody to know I'm not sick. I just sound congested and nasally all the time.
That's Casey Allen.
It's a problem.
Folks. Send us an email, radio@bleedtechblue.com. Let's talk some Louisiana Tech sports. Give us a call on a Rustin Tractor hotline, 888-993-7762, as Big Jason Jones walks in the
Thank
door
God.
To relieve Casey Allen from his stress.
Woo.
Visit one of our sponsors, National Jewelry, Dowling Smokehouse, Maxwell's Market, Greg Phillips State Farm, Fairway Carts, Tommy's Tees, and, of course, Rustin Tractor.
I've just been sitting out in the hall talking to Nick Brown, letting you do your thing.
Okay,
how to make an entrance.
Well, you had that guy over there, like these people could see me pointing. You had him freaking out.
Freaking out, man.
I don't know if anybody's awaited my arrival with such enthusiasm before.
That guy had.
Awesome.
And he didn't even know who you were. But what I was telling you, yeah, Jason Jones is going to join us. He goes, who's that?
That's that guy, Wednesday night supper, that eats all the food. He goes back for the second and thirds.
Well, probably the biggest news today, we'll go ahead and get a little football. We're going to do a half-hour basketball at 6:30. Skip Holtz will be calling in. He'll be joining us. Mate, we'll probably talk football for about 45 minutes, then finish out the show with more basketball talk. Because the Dunkin' Dogs are hot right now, and they deserve some attention, and we're gonna give it to them. The football staff, Jason, is just about complete with two additions recently, namely being I'm drawing a blank right now on the offensive coordinator, and I'm trying to find it on the message board, and I'm just having problems.
Oh,
guy we just hired?
Yeah,
Peterson.
Boom!
Look at me,
Tony Peterson.
From left field,
Tony.
Tony Peterson.
That's two Tonys in a row for offensive coordinator.
Hey, well, look at there. Co-offensive coordinator at Marshall, was also at Minnesota with the defensive coordinator, David Gibbs.
Back in what? Late 90s, early
late
2000s?
Late 90s and early 2000s.
If I'm not mistaken, he coached Leftwich and Chad Pennington, didn't he?
He did.
Hey.
Look at this.
Yeah, I told you I did my research.
He's already contributing.
I mean, we might as well steal their offensive coordinator. We already stole their chant. We are.
He went there.
Marshall.
He went there.
It's a great movie.
It is a good movie.
Did they steal that from Penn State? At least Penn State claims they did.
Who knows at this point?
Who knows?
No, every cheer in college football is stolen from somebody.
Yeah, right. Anything said has been stolen from somebody else. Period. Nothing's original anymore, Jay Ford.
He's exactly right. The only position that's left to be hired is offensive line.
Yes.
So we'll get more into football, 6:30. Stay tuned for head football coach Skip Holtz. The Bulldogs sitting at 12-3?
12-3.
3-0 in the conference.
3-0 in the conference with four very winnable games coming up. They go on the road, Texas State and Texas San Antonio this week. I don't think either team's won a game yet in the WAC. They're both – Texas State's 4-12, 0-4. Then you come back home, and you've got Denver.
No, it's
Idaho and Seattle. I'm sorry. Idaho and Seattle. Two of the middle of the pack WAC teams. They're not great teams. They're a little bit better than the two Texas Twins, but they've got to travel from Idaho and Seattle all the way to Ruston, Louisiana.
Yeah, right now.
And the Dawgs are hot at home.
Right now, UTSA is sitting at 0-4 in the conference. Utah State. They gave Utah State all they wanted at home, 71-67. Lost to San Jose State, one of the hottest teams in the WAC right now, 80-67. Lost to New Mexico State on the road, like most people do at New Mexico State, 82-62. And lost at Denver, 75-50. So when they go on the road, they don't play very well. Now, granted, at Denver, you've got the altitude to contend with, and New Mexico State is just playing a hard place to play.
I tell you, it'd be nice if we could get a hot start or continue to, you know,
build on
keep
the
doing well right now, because once we hit late January and we're at San Jose and we're at Utah State, brutal.
That's yeah, and that's what you're setting up for. You're looking to be 16-3 and 7-0 going to that road trip, and that's where they're going to see what they're made of, those last two games in January. San Jose is starting off pretty good. That's a tough place to go to. And then, like Casey said, going into Utah State, they usually have 8,000 or 9,000 fans, and they're screaming at you. Do they still have the fat guy under the goal?
Oh, surely that cat's graduated by now.
You would hope so. What's his name, Cowboy Bill or something? Oh,
what's he doing now, you think? Eating. Right now he's eating, probably.
Man, hating on the fat folks, all right?
Well, I think he signed a...
We resemble that remark.
You're not a kid because I love Jay Ford.
Well, hey, you're talking to somebody that just hit the Ron's Buffet and raced over here. I wonder if Cowboy Bill is maybe signed a sponsorship agreement with somebody like Ron's, because, I mean, he can make a lot of money.
That cat was a big dude, and it was frightening when he got in his Cupid outfit.
Oh, man.
You remember that?
He's the face of the Utah State student population. Let me say the belly of the
and face.
Utah State.
Right. Try shooting population. Free throws at that. Woo. Looking at that.
Well, let's continue talking a little basketball. The Bulldogs eked out a game at UT Arlington Saturday.
They were down at the half. And
they were down for, if my memory serves me correctly, 36 minutes of the 40-minute game.
And with, what, 2 minutes left, they're down, what, seven?
Seven.
Woo!
They led by only 4 minutes of the entire game. Now, of course, it only matters that you're leading for 1 second.
True.
And that's the at 1959.
There you go.
So
Coach White's got 11 guys averaging at least 8 minutes a game, nine guys averaging over 10.9 or higher. So he's playing a lot of guys. Raheem Appleby and Kenny Smith are both getting over 28 minutes. So they're the two leaders in the minutes department. Smith's got over 5 assists, 2.4 steals. Raheem's still pumping in the points, 15.7. I mean, and then you've got all the 6'5 monsters. I mean, he can go Brandon Gibson, Chris Anderson, Jaren Johnson, Cordarius Johnson, and just in and out, in and out, in and out. And you
Isaiah
said
against, Massey at 6'8.
And then you said against Texas Arlington, I mean, he's swapping five at a time. And that's one thing he can do at Utah State and Denver, to battle the altitude, to battle that road weariness, keep guys fresh, keep pumping in five. And you know, I don't see a lot of difference between Chris Anderson and Jaren Johnson and Cordarius Johnson. They're tall, long arms, athletes, and they just attack, attack, attack. And then the person I have not mentioned, who's really turned into be a spark, you can talk about him, Hamilton, unbelievable.
Yeah, Alex Hamilton really is the guy that they're depending on right now against UT Arlington, who's 4 for 9 for the field, scored 6 of his 14 points, I think, in the last 6 minutes to really spark the Bulldogs. A guy that just didn't have a good outing was Raheem Appleby on the road, was 1 for 11 from the field. And Raheem's the leading scorer, but he didn't give up. He got out there, didn't sulk, fought for some loose balls, got a loose ball and a timeout at a dire position late in the game. So that's important for the Bulldogs. They enjoy playing for one another, and they're willing to do whatever it takes to win a basketball game. And when you look at participation against UT Arlington, you've got 11 guys played. JL Lewis had 6 minutes. He was the least. He played the least out of everybody. But when you go 12 guys. Sorry, I'm going to get it right here in a second. 11 guys. That's pretty impressive when you can roll that many guys in and you got that. You don't have a drop off in talent.
Yeah, and you got your 11 guys you're playing, and then you got 5 fouls with Gibby Talbot sitting on the bench as the 12th man. If you need him, got your big 6'10 guy ready to go, and he's shown he can get on that low block and put that little left-handed mini, not a hook shot, but kind of a just one-handed little shot off the glass.
He's got soft touch down there.
He can get it. Talk about Hamilton, this true freshman from Chipley, Florida. He's only averaging 7.3 points a game in 16 minutes this year, but if you look at his last 4 games – Arkansas, Little Rock, and then the first 3 WAC games, he's averaging 14 points in 21 minutes. So he's almost doubling his output now that we're halfway through the season. So he's not a freshman anymore. Basically, he's a sophomore, and he's showing it. He's got that experience.
On the road at Northwestern State, when the Bulldogs once again were struggling a bit, it was Alex Hamilton that provided the spark. He finished with 16 points that night. Then the following night against Southern, or the following game against Southern Miss, he only had three. Against McNeese State, he didn't have any. He only played for 9 minutes. UALR, he had 14. Denver, 8. New Mexico State, 20. And UT Arlington, 14. The guy's playing really well right now. And the guy that he plays really well like with is Keon McNeil.
Yeah.
Those two have a great chemistry. They kind of know where one another are going to be, and they've only been playing together for 15 games-ish.
Yeah, and it looks like he's 17 for 31. Hamilton is in the last four games. So he's shooting over 50%, and he's a guard. He shot over 60% against Denver and Arkansas Little Rock. So, yeah, and McNeil is just on fire. We hadn't even talked about him, really. I mean, the guy, I don't know how he's only averaging 14 minutes and 6 points. It seems like he's averaging well over double digits, and he probably is in the last several games. I mean, 10, 14, and 10
yeah, the last
in
four,
WAC play.
The last four games, beginning with Southern Miss, I don't have UT Arlington on these statistics.
Well, his last four, count Arkansas, Little Rock, and UT Arlington, he's gone 10, 14, 10, and 9. So he's averaging about 11 points.
And he's playing a lot of minutes.
Yeah, in 20 minutes. So he and Hamilton, their minutes have increased, and they're taking advantage of it. Coach White's putting some trust in them, and they're earning that trust. And McNeil, what he's really doing is the three-pointers. McNeese, he was 2 for 5, and Arkansas Lurk, he was 1 for 4. But then 2 for 3 against Denver, 4 for 6 against New Mexico State, and 2 out of 4 against Arlington. So he's hitting the big shots to really help Tech out when they need it.
Then you look like you were saying earlier, when you look at forward on the schedule with Texas State coming up Thursday, UTSA Saturday, you hate to look ahead and say those are two wins, but it's very possible those are two wins. And to start out 5-0 in the conference is really, I wouldn't say it's unprecedented. It's just been a really long time since Tech's been off to that kind of start. And then you think back, and this is something I challenge everybody, call in, if you can think of the last time Tech had men's basketball and football clicking in the same year. It's been a long time.
Very long time.
What's your fondest memory of the season, the year that football and basketball were clicking in the same year? We'll take a break. On the side of the break, we'd like to hear from you on that subject. 888-993-7762, the Rustin Tractor Hotline. We'll be back right after this.
Want to find out stuff about Tech sports your neighbor doesn't know? Keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. I am Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com. Send us an email with your Louisiana Tech questions, comments. What year do you remember the most when Louisiana Tech football and men's basketball were clicking the best? Radio at BleedTechBlue.com. Give us a call on the Rustin Tractor Hotline, 888-993-7762. Visit one of our sponsors, National Jewelry, Dowling Smokehouse, Maxwell's Market, Greg Phillips, State Farm, Fairway Carts, Tommy's Tees, and Rustin Tractor. Jason, one of the most encouraging things for Louisiana Tech fans is probably where their RPI is being projected right now. Of course, nothing's official, but we'll look at several different RPIs, starting with realtimerpi.com. They're sitting at number 49 in the country. If they can finish the season in the mid-40s, around their mid-40s to 50, they could possibly get an at-large bid. If it's any higher than that, they have to win the WAC tournament to get into the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I mean, going into the season, everybody said, look, the WAC's a one-bid league these days with Nevada gone. But you've got Utah State, New Mexico State are traditional basketball mid-major powers. And then Denver, Texas Arlington joined the league. They're good basketball programs, and Tech's on the rise. So you've got five legitimate programs, and you can get two bids out of that if – the team that loses the championship game, you got to get to that championship game. And if you don't win, if you're, say, 24-plus wins, probably 45-plus RPI, you got a great shot.
And you look at WarrenNolan.com. They have Louisiana Tech projected at number 40 RPI if the season were to end today. They project the rest of the season to give the RPI of the rest of Tech's opponents the lowest RPI of an opponent left on Tech's schedule. Utah State at number 99.
Mm.
Utah State has played a very easy schedule, and that is killing their RPI.
And, hey, talking about Utah State, I called him Cowboy Bill. His name is Wild Bill.
Cowboy Bill.
In February of 11, he was a 27-year-old, 300-pound senior. In 2010, he was sidelined with heart complications, probably because he was a 300-pound, 5-foot-something heavyweight. But I don't know if he's still around. He must have graduated. He was a senior 2 years ago, so maybe he graduated by the time he was 30.
My resident
29.
Utah State expert is no longer in town, but I imagine I could reach out to him and he could tell me where Cowboy Bill / Wild Bill is these days.
Who was your Utah State expert in Ruston?
I got my connections.
Okay. Oh, they're saying they've got a kid named Wild Matt who is the super fan replacement.
Okay.
See a big fella too? If he's not,
he's
disappointed.
Yeah, he must be wild. We'll have to see. I guess we'll find out when Tech goes up there. But yeah.
In other words, in order for Tech to continue on this having a good RPI, they have to take care of their own business. They can't lose games. They're not supposed to win.
Yeah, now you're talking about going back to when Tech had a good basketball season and a good football season. Hadn't gone back that far yet, but this season has been reminding me of the season. It was Rupp's second year, just like Coach White's second year. They start out 17-2. You know, Coach White's team can be 16-3 after these next four games, 5-0 in the WAC. This team back then was 5-0 in the WAC. Where did the streak stop? They went to San Jose State.
Yep.
January 21st and 2011, I believe.
That was a manager on that 20, team. No, big
no 2010, I'm sorry.
No big
led deal. Led by Casey over
That's
here.
That's right, Jock Washer.
And they lost 87-76. So. And that's kind of, you know, and at that point they started really having problems. They beat Hawaii the next game, and then they started winning every other game. They won one, lost one. And that happened for about 8 straight games. So they really never could get back on that same track.
As far as records go, the closest I can find is 1999 when Tech was independent, went 8-3 with Jack Bicknell as their coach.
Beat Bama for the second time in 3 years.
And the Bulldog basketball team under Keith Richard was 21-8. That's probably the closest we're going to find recently. So it's been over a decade.
What year was that?
99-2000.
Okay.
That's the closest I can find. I'm starting with looking at football, where they had a successful year.
The only thing that's since then that's been somewhat close, I think you still had Tiger Meeking in 01, so you probably had a pretty good basketball season. Tech
they
won the WAC.
22-10.
Tech won the WAC in 01. And then in 05, football, I believe, with Matt Kubik had a winning record. I mean, 7 wins, I believe.
They were 20-13 in basketball.
20-13 in basketball. And that was Millsap's
but
first or second year.
But they weren't 9-3, 8-3. That kind of a record. That's not a normal territory for Louisiana Tech football. They've been 7-5 before. They've been bowling, but getting to that 8-win, 9-win season is what was so.
So basically, you're saying this is the fourth year in 15 that we've had two winning seasons, but it's the first time since that 99 season that they've had some tremendous success.
Correct. So, props to Louisiana Tech athletics for having that success. Now they got to build on it.
Sponsored by Charlie Sheen, you know, winning. They're doing it.
Y'all are full of the one-liners tonight.
He's inspiring me.
No,
I'm inspired
I'm just
by Casey.
It's 2013 now. We're probably done with the winning thing.
Let's hope so.
Well, hey, I'm behind the times. So I promise you that.
That guy, he's going to have to come up with something to get his name back in the news, though.
Who?
Charlie Sheen.
Yeah. God,
nobody's talking about him anymore.
He's got a show. Nobody watches it.
I didn't realize that he had a show.
He's got a show.
So that shows you what I know. Jason, we'll talk a little recruiting. I know, Casey, that's kind of out of your wheelhouse, but we're going to talk a little
recruiting.
For basketball. The Bulldogs have two signed, of course, both really Michigan guys. Dominique Jackson, who is playing his senior year at Beauchesne High School in Arnoville, Louisiana, down in the Opelousas area. But he, before his senior year, had been playing in Michigan. He is the cousin of Torrey Jackson, the former Notre Dame star. And also, the other Michigan connection they have signed is Leo Edwards. I'll go back to Dominique real fast. He's a combo guard, 2'3", 6'3", just explosive athlete.
The best athlete on the team.
One of the best
by
athletes.
By all accounts.
Both one of the best athletes on the team. Leo Edwards is a 6'8", 220-pound power forward. He's 6'8", and just turned 17 in October. With given that fact, he could be 6'10 by the time he's a Bulldog. So that's what they've got signed now. I don't expect them to sign any JC guys in the later signing class. They may look for a transfer. I would imagine. But I think they're done with the high school guys, and I don't think they'll pick up a JC. They're probably looking for somebody for 3 years or more.
Yeah.
That maybe redshirted this season.
One note, that 01 football season when they won the WAC that following winter, they did go 22-10, 14-4 in the WAC, and finished regular season first place. I mean, 14-4 in the WAC was pretty good because you still had Tulsa back then, Fresno, Nevada.
They finished 7-5 on the regular season. That's what I'm looking at.
Yeah,
it's the total
football. Yeah,
yeah, total record.
But you know, that was the year they beat Vanderbilt in Ruston by 25, 83-68.
Are you talking about the basketball team?
Yeah, in the
NIT.
But
I'm talking about both. When the football team and the basketball team both had success in the same year.
Yeah,
and I mean they're 7-5. Yes, and
they won the WAC.
So. But you're still 7-5 and barely bowl eligible.
Would you take 7-5 and winning the WAC, or 9-3 and getting third place in the WAC?
You want to be bowl eligible and be in a bowl no matter what.
Yeah. They got in a bowl back in 01. Didn't fare too well.
They get all humanitarian bowl, now known as the famous Idaho Potato Bowl, who's got to have the worst bowl name in college football.
Beef O'Brady's, that's bad.
Yeah, I think Beef O'Brady's. They've got some pretty bad ones these days.
The famous Idaho Potato Bowl. There's some really bad name bowls. But I'm going to step on my soapbox for a second. I'm of the opinion that there's too many. There's too many bowls.
Let's let everybody play.
If you get the 6-6, yeah, you're bowl eligible.
Sure.
Everybody,
Was
it Beef O'Brady's was on the other day and it was 2 6-6 teams? I was thinking.
And 5-7 Georgia Tech, yeah.
And
you had a losing season, but yeah, we're going to give you a waiver and go play in a bowl.
And if a 9-win team cannot make a bowl,
Georgia Tech won that game, didn't they?
Yes, beat USC.
Well, nice. But that's like playing kindergartners at this point.
Whoa!
What?
Now y'all see why I wanted this guy on the air.
Oh, yeah. Hey, 1997 and this year, 9-win Tech gets not in a bowl game. If you can get to 9 wins and not make a bowl, Tech knows how to do it. That's twice now.
That's right. Let's take an early break. 6:30, of course. A minute or so, Coach Holtz is supposed to be calling in here to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, so stay tuned for Coach Holtz, head football coach.
Don't have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries. Just listen to Bleed Tech Blue every week.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. I am Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com. Phone lines will open up again after this segment with Coach Skip Holtz, head football coach of Louisiana Tech University. Visit one of our sponsors, National Jewelry, Dowling Smokehouse, Maxwell's Market, Greg Phillips State Farm, Fairway Carts, Tommy's Tees, and Ruston Tractor. Coach, thanks for joining us today here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
Definitely. I'm glad that I could be here tonight. Everything going okay for you today?
They're going great. Joined here with Jason Jones and Casey Allen. Coach, how's the adjustment coming? I know you've been out searching for a staff here the last couple of weeks, but just give us a quick preview or a quick synopsis of how your first few weeks in Ruston have been.
You know what? They've been great. I can't tell you how wonderful everybody in Ruston has been and just the entire Louisiana Tech family. Just from a standpoint of getting here, meeting people, having the opportunity to get out a little bit in the community, but at the same time trying to get to meet our players, know our players, watch film, get into recruiting, get a staff together, and all the things that go on when you first take over a new position. It's a little bit like drinking through a fire hose. There's no way you can absorb all the information that's coming at you all at the same time, but it has been great. It's been a whirlwind, but it's been a lot of fun, and I'm really excited about it.
Coach, we'll start off with the members of your staff that you guys have announced, starting right. with, of course, Tim Rattay, very successful quarterback here at Louisiana Tech. Talk about your thought process when it went into hiring Tim Rattay.
Well, we talked a little bit about when you put a staff together. I talked at the press conference about we had to make sure that we had some Louisiana flavor from a recruiting standpoint, some people that have the opportunity to really kind of give you some inroads getting into the to the Louisiana, the state of Louisiana recruiting. But you also have to have some Louisiana Tech flavor. And I sat down and looked at some of the alumni that were into coaching or trying to get into coaching, and it doesn't get any bigger than the name Tim Rattay. And having the opportunity to talk with him and spend some time with him, really impressed, as he's been. You know, he's a young man that not only had great success here as a player and can sit down and talk to a player about, I've sat in your seat. I mean, literally that seat right there that you're sitting in. I've played here. I've done it here. Having the opportunity to go to the NFL for 8 years, then play a couple of years in the UFL, and really what he's done, even getting into coaching as he's been coaching for the last couple of years in the UFL. And I just think he's a great addition. He's a great young man. He's a great spokesperson for this university. And I feel really fortunate to have the opportunity to be able to put him on the staff.
Coach, have y'all decided where he will what he will be coaching on the staff?
Yeah, right now he's going to be with the wide receivers. That's who he's been working with, the wide receivers at when he was in the UFL, and talking to a couple of the coaches that were out there, and that's where he feels really comfortable right now as he's getting his feet wet. I think he's a guy that could coach a number of positions. I think if you were going to give him the running backs, the wide receivers, the quarterbacks, I think there's a lot of different places that he could go, and he gave us some flexibility. But right now the coordinator is going to coach quarterbacks, and he's going to coach the outside wide receivers.
Well, Coach, you mentioned getting connections to Louisiana is big, and I don't think you can do much better than the hire you made. It's been done before. Frank Wilson, the coach at O.P. Walker, has been a top recruiter in the South for a long time. Right down the road from O.P. Walker, you can't get any better than Edna Carr. Three straight state championship games. They won it this year. Coach DeLuke, it seems like every player down there knows who he is, looks up to him, and I just think that's a tremendous hire.
Well, you know, again, you have the opportunity to sit down with a guy like Jabbar Jalouk and just to get to know him. And when we brought him up and went through the interview process, put him on the board, obviously he knows football. And as a high school coach, you've got to coach offense, defense, skilled, offensive line, D-line. But, boy, where he really just blew me away in the interview process was when we started talking about how to deal with players, the relationship with the players, how to deal with people, what his expectations are, the standard that he holds his team to. I was just really impressed with him as a person. I think he's going to do a great job. I mean, obviously, when you talked about the success he's had on the field, he's from the city of New Orleans. He grew up there. He was an inner-city youngster growing up there, and then having the opportunity to grow up, to play the game, and then become a coach and now be a head coach for the last 8 years of Carr, and what he's done there and the relationship that he builds with his players really is what sold me on him. And I think he'll do not only a great job recruiting, I'm going to put Coach Jalouk's going to coach a running backs, and I think he's got an opportunity to be a great father figure to some very talented young running backs that we have here in our program at Louisiana Tech.
Well, Coach, recruiting, obviously, lifeblood for a program. You had a top 50 class last year. Right, you were packed in there on the – I know you coaches don't care about rankings, but you were packed in there with Cincinnati, South Florida, West Virginia, Pittsburgh, a lot of your conference mates in those rankings, but you did it with only 20 signees, where West Virginia and Cincinnati signed almost 30. So really quality players. You've got 4 weeks. I know it's been a whirlwind so far for you. You probably can take a breath in about 4 weeks, but what, I mean, are y'all just like cramming film, calling? Yeah. I mean, is it dead still? When can you start calling kids, and do you expect a big group this weekend?
Well, we've been dead pretty much from the 17th. I think from about the 17th, it's been dead, and you haven't been able to be on the road. But we have been putting it together here in the office, watching film, getting every piece of information we can get, talking to high school coaches, just trying to make our own evaluations as you come in here. And it's really kind of coming a good time with all this downtime as a new staff walking in to get familiar with all the recruits. But you're right, you know, when you look at, we can't push this back. We've got to go at it hard as we can go for the next 3.5 weeks until we get to signing date. And once signing date gets here, then we have a chance to kind of take a deep breath, step back, maybe go back home, put your house up on for sale, those type of things, and then come back. But right now, recruiting doesn't wait for anybody, and there's an adage that says recruiting is like shaving. You got to do it every day or you're going to look like a bum. And I think as we are here as a new staff, one of the hard things and one of the time that really becomes time consuming is getting to know your present team to understand what your needs are in recruiting. I think it's going to be really important. I've said this all along. I'm more concerned about the ones we get than the ones we lose. I don't want to come in here and just get into a mass offer where we try and offer as many as we can and then see which ones want to come. I think we really got to set our crosshairs, and that's what we've been doing the last couple weeks, on where we want to go, who we've identified. We've been able to call once a week right now after talking to coaches and getting transcripts and those type of things. And I think the key to this class is going to be not necessarily just the quantity, but the quality. And we've got to make sure that the ones that we take have an opportunity either to come in and make an immediate impact on the field, whether that be a young player, a freshman, or a junior college player. And then we've got to make sure that we bring some people in here that are going to answer some long-term goals for us that are also going to have the opportunity to help us achieve that long-term success.
Well, Coach, one of the newcomers on your staff that most people are not familiar with would be Joe Sloan, who, of course, played for you at East Carolina and followed you to South Florida, and he was on your staff. Just tell us a little bit about Joe Sloan.
Okay, Joe Sloan was a walk-on for us at East Carolina. He held for us, was a walk-on quarterback, ran our scout teams. He was like having a coach on the field, even as a player. I think he's an absolute bulldog, and I think that he is just, he's relentless. He gets after it from a recruiting standpoint. From an understanding football standpoint, he's always been a student of the game. We had an opportunity to have him be a graduate assistant for us at South Florida, where I thought he did some great things. He's a younger guy. He's very technology based. I mean, as far as all the Facebook and the Twitter and the recruiting and relating to players and everything, I think he really does a nice job. And I think he's going to be with the inside receivers, and having him and Tim Rattay, I think, are going to give us two outstanding young football coaches that are really breaking into the business that I think are going to be stars in the business one day.
Coach, then you've got two guys on the defensive side of the ball that Louisiana Tech fans are most familiar with, and Stan Egan and Coach Coons. Was that a difficult decision once you sat down and talked to both of those guys?
No, it really wasn't. I mean, you look at Stan Egan and everything, where he's been. He's been at Alabama. He's been at TCU. He's been at Texas A&M. I mean, he's been at UNLV. He's got about 30 years of experience in coaching. He's known as one of the better recruiters around the country. I mean, he's a great person. He's a good man. He's a chemistry guy. He's a staff chemistry person. I think he does a great job with his players. When I had first come in here and had the opportunity to have my team meeting, a number of the defensive linemen came up to me and asked me to really consider Stan hard because they really wanted to have him as their coach for their senior year. I just think he's got great respect amongst the team, amongst the people in the community. He's an outstanding person. He's a family man. It was really not a hard decision at all, and I felt really fortunate to have the opportunity to hire him. And then with Jeff Koontz, I think Jeff Koontz is a lot like the Tim Rattay and a Joe Sloan. I think he's now been here 2 years, but I think he's very energetic. I think from a recruiting standpoint, he's had great success on the field. His dad is a junior college coach. He's a lot like myself. He grew up around the game. He's a student of the game. Again, I think he's one of those young, bright stars. And I think both of those guys, I feel very fortunate that we're able to keep them on the staff. And I know, sometimes you look at numbers and numbers can be deceiving, because they were the same coaches that were on the field a year earlier when we won the WAC conference predominantly with an outstanding defense. So I think they're very good football coaches. I think they're good recruiters. I think they help keep some continuity on this staff from where this football team has been, and continue to keep the success and the energy that's on the field right now rolling forward. So I think they're both great additions. I'm really excited about the three young guys that we put on the offensive side of the ball, and those two guys that are going to be able to stay with us. And I'm excited about some more of the announcements that are going to be coming as we continue to move forward here.
Coach Holtz, Casey Allen here. It's fine. I've never heard of me either. I have a non-football related question to ask you. I work out at Squire Creek, and I look forward to hopefully meeting you out there at some point. Just look for the not very tall guy wearing a bow tie. I wanted to know if I know your dad heard he likes to play golf. I'm wondering, what are the odds of maybe Father Lou coming out there playing around? Maybe I could get him a Diet Coke or something. What are the odds of that ever happening?
Well, you know what? It's definitely going to happen. Everywhere that I've been, he's come out here. He's come to spring practice, had an opportunity to spend a couple days, be on the field. The biggest thing that I tell him is, here's a notepad, write down everything you see. Because if I don't, he's going to be in the middle of the huddle trying to coach everybody, trying to tell everybody what to do. But I am extremely blessed to have the opportunity to have a father that's had the type of success that he has in this business. And for him to be able to come in kind of from a consultant standpoint, to be able to watch what we're doing offensively, defensively, special teams, our personnel, to be able to watch all that and give me just kind of a bird's eye view, what it looks like from 10,000 feet rather than being in the middle of it. And when he comes out here, he's definitely a guy that that loves to play golf, and we're going to get him out there to see that golf course while he's here.
Coach, I have one more recruiting question. You lose 30-plus seniors. Tons of receivers, O-line, linebacker. Are those kind of the focuses of this class? Or are you not looking at certain positions, just, you know, quality kids? What's kind of the focus for the next couple of weeks?
No, you're exactly right. And it's hard anytime you lose 31 seniors. I mean, that's a third of your football team, maybe even more than a third of your football team, which is an awful lot to replace. And I think you have to, you have to be careful. You don't want to go sign just 31 freshmen, and then you've got one third of your team that's going to be really young. I think you have to break that up, and you want to sign a couple junior college players where you feel like you're going to need some immediate help. And I think you saw some of that on the defensive side of the ball with our mid-year signees, with two linebackers and a defensive lineman. But right now, really, some of the focus has been really with the wide receivers and the offensive line. That's been the biggest focus. When you look at the young running backs that are here, that have had an awful lot of talent on the field, when you look at having four senior offensive linemen walk out the door last year, you've got another five senior offensive linemen this year. You need to make sure that you bring some people in here to try and balance out your classes so you don't get so lopsided and you don't go through another year where you have just 31 seniors, because as much as that's great to have success on the field, it does leave a pretty big hole when those 31 players walk off the field. So the biggest priorities that we're putting into this class right now would be, we're on defense, we're going to take a little bit of everything, about three linebackers. We're going to take about three or four in the secondary. We'll take a couple up front. I think we're going to take probably two more up front on the defensive line. So when you look at it, we're going to have a pretty big, we're going to be pretty balanced on the defensive side of the ball, but the offense, it's going to predominantly be offensive linemen and wide receivers.
Well, Coach, we really appreciate you joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm sure we'll have you back on in the future, and wish you much success here in Ruston and at Louisiana Tech.
Well, I look forward to it. I look forward to some more of these announcements that are going to be coming out here in the next couple of days as we round off the staff. But really appreciate y'all having me on tonight, and I look forward to this being one of many opportunities that we'll have to spend some time together.
Absolutely, Coach. Thanks again.
Thanks, Coach.
Y'all have a great night. Thank you. Bye now.
Skip Holtz, head football coach, Louisiana Tech, joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. If you missed the entire segment, we will have it on the Bleed Tech Blue Radio podcast, on iTunes, and on BleedTechBlue.com later this evening, as well as the rest of the show. We'll be back right after this.
Get ready for a healthy dose of Louisiana Tech sports. Bleed Tech Blue is back on the radio.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. Give us a call. What are your thoughts there on Coach Holtz giving us a lot? Giving an introing the staff members that are known, giving some good insight on each one of the guys. Send us an email giving us your thoughts. Radio at BleedTechBlue.com. Give us a call. Ruston Tractor Hotline, 888-993-7762. Visit one of our sponsors. National Jewelry, Dowling Smokehouse, Maxwell's Market, Greg Phillips State Farm, Fairway Carts, Tommy's Tees, and Ruston Tractor. Of course, guys, he went over. Tim Rattay is outside receivers coach. Joe Sloan as inside receivers coach, Jabbar Jalouk as running backs coach, Stan Egan, defensive line coach, linebackers, Jeff Koons. Tony Peterson, it came out today out of a newspaper out of West Virginia, will be the offensive coordinator. He was a co-offensive coordinator at Marshall this year. They had a top 10 total offense.
Led the nation in passing, I think.
41
points a game.
Something like that. And he coached, of course, Chad Pennington and
Leftwich.
Byron Leftwich at Marshall, University of Marshall. Is it Marshall?
Uh-huh.
University of Marshall.
And maybe Randy Moss. I don't know.
Well, he was there with Randy Moss because Chad Pennington was his wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good addition. He said in his intro press conference that he was going to stay in the spread. He did just that. And Tony Peterson is a guy that I don't think anybody saw coming.
No, but I'll tell you what. There was two guys I was looking at that I thought were interesting because I thought you keep the spread going. Well, I looked at two teams that had top 10 or 15 offenses in the country, West Virginia and Troy. They had quarterbacks coaches that had ties to the previous staff. The quarterbacks coach at Troy had tutored under Neil Brown, who learned under Tony Franklin. So you're running the system. The guy out at West Virginia is obviously coached under Coach Holgerson, who used to coach with Sonny. So I thought the terminology might be the same kind of offense. Well, he found somebody that's got a top 10 offense. Marshall was number 6 in the country in total offense. But what he did do, instead of getting one of these two guys that I was talking about that only had 2 or 3 years of experience in FBS, he's got a guy that not only has a big-time offense, but also has a lot of experience. So he obviously used his connections and really got out there and found somebody good.
I'm really impressed with that hire. And while we're on me being impressed, like I matter, him keeping Stan Egan, who served as recruiting coordinator last year for Sonny Dykes, I think is clutch. The majority of the existing commitments were Stan Egan's commitments, whether they were defensive linemen or from the Shreveport area or even Dallas. I don't think the Dallas commitment, Liddell Marshall, was his commitment. But that's an area that Stan Egan has a good grasp. So that's a big-time retention, if you will, for Skip Holtz. The other one being Jeff Koons, linebackers coach. It took a while for it to come out that Jeff was staying at Tech, but ultimately, I don't think there's a better linebackers coach available for Louisiana Tech than Jeff Koons. With his experience at Iowa State, his experience at the University of Texas.
I mean, he was able to go into South Mississippi, get probably the highest rated recruit Tech had this last year, who was a Mississippi State recruit, went to his home state, went down there and flipped him to Tech. I mean, he's got some serious recruiting credentials. And then I know the defense, everybody kind of threw him under the bus this last year.
Lots of injuries on that defense.
A lot of injuries at defense, especially linebacker. The year before, I mean, you got to remember, he was here 3 years. He had 2 years to develop Jay Dudley and Adrian Cole, and they had phenomenal years in 2011. And he had a big part in that. So tremendous, tremendous job in keeping Coach Egan and Coach Koons. I mean, Egan has just been a recruiting machine since he set foot in Ruston.
Staying on the defensive side of the ball, what I believe will be the safeties coach, Ronnie Bradford, coached some in the NFL, played 10 years in the NFL, and played at Colorado. And while we're talking about him playing at Colorado, played with David Gibbs, who will be the defensive coordinator at Colorado. So I like the way that this staff has chemistry. And you mentioned another guy that's got connections to David Gibbs. Tony Peterson coached with David Gibbs at Minnesota. When you've got guys that know one another, they don't have to adjust to each other. They know how one another are. That means a lot. There's going to be existing chemistry. And on top of Ronnie Bradford coaching safeties, I believe he will coach special teams. He was a special teams coordinator for, I think, a couple of seasons for the Denver Broncos. He's qualified, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you've got NFL experience at defensive back and at special teams, he'll fit right in that position. And I know he's from Colorado, not necessarily from Texas, but I think just having a guy that's got NFL experience, you put him in a market like Dallas or Houston, I think he'll be an effective recruiter over there. You've already got Coach Egan, who's an effective recruiter in Dallas. Especially, you've got that South Loop, Duncanville,
DeSoto.
Yeah, DeSoto, Lancaster, down in that area. He's done some really good things down there. So I'm excited about it. I think he's putting together a good class on the field. I mean, a good coaching staff on the field, but also recruiting.
And you talk about another guy with connections to Houston. David Gibbs coached at the Texans, so he's got connections to the city of Houston. Now, of course, as an NFL coach, you're not necessarily getting out in the community and getting to know the prospects and the high school coaches, but he's been there. He knows where the talent is, and that'll help as well. This is a very impressive staff. I'm excited to see who he gets for offensive line. Given everything we're talking about with Texas, I think that person will likely have recruiting connections to the Texas, hopefully Central Texas. Central Texas, there's a lot of talent right now, and it's not untapped. There's a lot of people going into Central Texas, but it's not like East Texas, Dallas, Houston, where it's everybody goes there. Every school in the country recruits Houston, Dallas, and East Texas.
Yeah, basically, you know, starting with Waco and going down towards Round Rock and Austin and then coming back up, turning right there at Hutto and coming back up Highway 79 towards Louisiana. I mean, Jacksonville, home of Luke McCown, Palestine, home of Adrian Peterson. I think you might have heard of him. I mean, just
– who's that? All day.
Yeah, I mean
– stud.
Unbelievable. Yes. There's definitely East Central Texas area, unbelievable recruiting. So you definitely got to hit the metro, you know, Dallas, Houston, but you want to hit that Central. And then there's a lot of Tech grads coaching in East Texas. There's Tech grads coaching at Kilgore and Marshall and losing Coach Payro. He had that – he would always find an O-lineman to pull out of Baton Rouge. He'd also find one to pull out of East Texas, Matt Shepard.
Because a lot of his players, the offensive linemen from Tech
– are coaching out there.
Exactly.
Matt Shepard, Vince Kano. So, I mean, East Texas is also important.
Let's take an early break. Casey, we really appreciate you joining us. I know you got to get out of here to go to a rehearsal or something of the sort.
Yeah, something like that.
Break a leg.
And I got a shower.
That too.
Yeah. But thanks, man. It's been fun. I hope I get to come back.
We'll love to have you back. This is Bleed Tech Blue.
You got to love Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. I am Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com. Send us an email, radio at BleedTechBlue.com. Give us a call, Rustin Tractor Hotline, 888-993-7762. What do you think of this staff that Skip Holtz is putting together? I think it's outstanding, to sum it up in one word. Sponsors: National Jewelry, Dowling Smokehouse, Maxwell's Market, Greg Phillips State Farm, Fairway Carts, Tommy's Tees, and Rustin Tractor. Well, Jason, I don't think that I can stop talking about football. So we're going to have to do this for one more segment. We'll get into basketball because, of course, they've got two games this week that are enormous for their momentum. Let's talk a little bit more about what this staff means from a recruiting perspective. And what? Let's see if we can predict. I know some of the areas that everybody will recruit. Tim Rattay, from what I understand, will basically have what I'm going to call the Rob Likens territory. Rob Likens had the
Central Arkansas down to Monroe, over to Jackson, and up.
Oh yeah, North Mississippi, Northeast Louisiana, and South Arkansas from Little Rock down.
And you know, they got up into Central Arkansas, recruited Conway, Searcy, Cabot a little bit. Remember the quarterback out of Searcy, Desmond Stegall, ended up going to Arkansas State. They were looking at him as more of a Wildcat guy.
And he didn't like that.
Yeah, and then they got another Wildcat guy and decided against doing the Wildcat and sent him back to Florida. So that didn't work. I think Coons will stick where he is, you know, doing South Mississippi and doing the North Shore. Egan's money in Shreveport and Dallas, you're going to leave him there. The offensive line coach, got to have somebody doing that Central Texas area that we just talked about. I'm thinking that's going to be pretty self-evident there. You know, Sloan, he's a younger guy. You'll probably put him in Central Louisiana, Alexandria, down to Leesville. If, you know, just me speculating. And then if you're giving him an area that's in another state, you know, you need somebody in East Texas. He's from the Alabama, Georgia area. I don't know if you want to go that far.
He's from Virginia. That's not the Alabama.
He's coached
Georgia.
High school ball in Georgia, though, maybe. I thought maybe. I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking of somebody else.
I think you're thinking about somebody else.
You mentioned the defensive coordinator name that we've been hearing. I'm thinking he might just fill Tommy Spangler's role, you know. Lake Charles, down into Houston. You need somebody down there. Jaluk's obviously going to be New Orleans. Now, how far will he go? Will he go all the way across?
I think he's probably going to do much of like what Pierre Ingram had, where he had Lafayette. And I think he's going to have Jefferson Parish. They're going to give him. They're not going to split it up like they did with Coons and Ingram. I think he's going to be Cajun country, if you will, for lack of a better term, Opelousas area. I think he's going to do Baton Rouge. I really do. Then Jefferson Parish, the River Parish, the St. Charles Parish, Orleans Parish. I don't think he's going to do North Shore. They're going to leave Coons on the North Shore, which is, of course, St. Tammany, Tangipahoa, Washington. You think that I'm from down there or something?
Yeah, all these names are run together for me, so I'm from Arkansas. But one thing I liked about Coach Dooley, when he came here, he said, look, every coach on my staff is going to have a region of the state, and they're going to have a region in another state. So you're learning and meeting some high school coaches in your state, but you're also getting out into a bigger market like a Dallas or a Houston or a Mobile, you know, whatever. And he's going to give you another area to kind of get out there. And so, you know, it's kind of almost cross-training these coaches to be good recruiters in more than one area. And I like that a lot. And I think you see that with some of the areas they still have. You know, Egan's still doing Shreveport, but he goes over to Dallas. I think you don't need one guy in Dallas. You need two. You need basically somebody doing Mansfield, Arlington, Fort Worth, and then somebody else doing Dallas. So
Houston and Dallas are so loaded.
And especially Dallas because it's closer.
And Fort Worth, there's not much in Fort Worth.
But Arlington, Mansfield, unbelievably loaded. Yeah. So,
and by the way, I went to a high school basketball game there. Watched DeSoto and Mansfield Timberview,
yeah,
play Saturday or Friday night. What an experience. That's, folks, if you've never been to a Texas high school sporting event, it's a different world. Louisiana needs to figure that out. Go steal the Texas High School Athletic Association associate commissioner and hire him in Louisiana and see what the man can do.
Another guy you might see over in East Texas, and I'm talking about just the really extreme East Texas. You've got smaller schools like Jefferson and Tatum that put out high school kids, but then also the bigger towns like Marshall, Longview. I don't know if you go all the way to Tyler, but Tim Rattay's got a lot of teammates over there. You know, he might be somebody that would be put in that area, even though he's still, we think, due in South Arkansas. You might put Sloan in South Arkansas. It's less populated. Who knows? I think you have a couple of guys in Dallas, a couple of guys in Houston. You have another in East Texas, another in Central Texas. You're going to have probably five or six coaching Texas. I think you have everybody, all hands on deck in Louisiana, and then maybe a couple of guys in Mississippi, one in Arkansas, and that's kind of your range. And they've got it knocked out. I mean, it's – I think – 2008, you saw that first New Orleans class where you had Rufus Porter, Jordan Mills, the O'Perry Walker boys like Kendrick James and Tyrone Duplessis, even down into the South Plaquemines, you know, with Lafitte. They knocked that class out, really got into New Orleans. This past year,
that's what Jaluk's going to do.
And this past year, you saw Tulane hire a local guy, Saints coach. They said, we're going to lock down the city. And they've got a ton of commitments from the city. So Tech's going to get right back in there. And with Jaluk, they can compete for some of those kids that, you know, LSU's still going to come in there. Alabama might come in there and get a player or two like LSU.
But let's be honest.
The Dutchtown kids to Bama.
But let's be honest. If a kid's got an LSU or an Alabama offer, Tech's not in the same
realm.
They're
gone anyway. So there's still a million kids down there that are great players.
There's a lot of people out there. I'm going to go ahead and get them on another soapbox. You know that's what I'm good at. That think that he's going to get some guys that probably Tech's not supposed to get. Jaluk is. They're going to have some out of the state offers. I think that's just what he's going to do.
And they're going to have some of these Les Miles gray shirt offers, you know, some of them.
Exactly.
But if they have an LSU offer to be one of those guys, where you're the 26th guy. And I've had at Tech tell me, look me straight in the eye and say, we don't go there. You're wasting your time. The kids are infatuated with them, and they're from down there. So what are you going to do? There's still 50 other kids that are 3 and 4 stars just in New Orleans and the surrounding area.
So that's what the staff's going to do. They're going to get – I'm not saying that Dykes and his staff didn't hit New Orleans and South Louisiana hard, because they did. But the 2012 class, this year's class is just – or 2013 class is just kind of – it's low for Louisiana. 2014, though, is out of this world. 2014 – we'll have one of the top 10 players in the country, I imagine, in Leonard Fournette at St. Aug. Leonard Fournette is one of the best running backs in the country.
And you've got two studs. We saw one of them over in Dallas at the Rivals.com.
Gerald Willis, the
right
third.
There at Edna Carr, yeah.
And then Noel L. Speedy Noel at the quarterback at Edna Carr. So, I mean, that's three 2014 guys in the state, in the city of New Orleans, and that's the elite guys.
And then you got quarterback Quentin Gibson, whose brother's here at Tech. We saw him over in Dallas. I mean, this was a combine for the top juniors in the entire country. We saw a defensive tackle whose dad was the NBA player Glenn Robinson, who looked like he was a 30-year-old man, just blowing people up.
Kind of like Anthony Freak Johnson at LSU when we saw him at a combine.
I mean, he was just unbelievable. So you've got a couple of kids from South Louisiana. They come over and they turn some heads. I mean, they really made a name for themselves there in Texas. Everybody in South Louisiana already knew about them.
What we're saying is this staff's going to recruit well. And I'm pretty sure – I'm going to go ahead and say this now. I know – that the offensive line coach will have the ability to recruit Texas. He will.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a given. And that's going to help tremendously. And I really think Bradford, being from Colorado, having all the NFL experience.
Played in the league for 10 years.
He'll be able to recruit either Dallas or Houston. I can almost guarantee you you'll see him in one of those two areas. Got to. And you might see him in Baton Rouge as well. You know, he might have a dual responsibility there.
Let's take an early break. In the final segment, we'll be talking Louisiana Tech basketball. 12-3, 3-0 in the WAC.
On the fast track to 16-3 and 7-0.
Come back. We'll talk more about it. Two games this week, huge for the Duncan Dogs. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.5.
Want to find out stuff about Tech sports your neighbor doesn't know? Keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. I am Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com. Send us an email, radio@BleedTechBlue.com. Give us a call, Rust and Tractor Hotline, 888-993-7762. Visit one of our sponsors, National Jewelry, Dowling Smokehouse, Maxwell's Market, Greg Phillips State Farm, Fairway Carts, Tommy's Tees, and Rustin Tractor.
Well, Jay Ford, we like to look at the Massey ratings for football this last year. For basketball, they've got Tech ranked 83rd, but they predict the rest of your schedule. Tech's favorite, they've got Tech as a 79% chance of winning next game, 78 the next, 80 the next, 92 the next. And then even that 64% for that San Jose State road game that we're saying is going to be a tough test. The only three games that they don't favor Tech in the rest of the way, the following game at Utah State, they show Tech at 37%. And then the last two games of the whole schedule, at New Mexico State, at Denver, 39 and 36%.
And you can't blame them for either one of those, either of those three.
I don't know. At Idaho's 53%, kind of in the middle of the conference schedule. That's going to be a tough place to get to. And they're not a bad team. I mean, they're 6-7 right now, and they've got a couple of whack wins. So Coach White's got them rolling. We talked about, 3 years ago, they started out 17-2, 5-0, going into that San Jose State road game. They could very well be 16-3, 7-0, getting a lot of excitement, and they're exciting to watch. You've got the guards that just get after people, really pressure the ball. You got long athletic wings who challenge the passing lanes. And then, of course, if you get past all that, Michael Kaiser's going to block your shot, or he's going to alter the shot, and Isaiah Massey's going to get the rebound. So they've got it down to a science. They're really getting after people, and it's just fun to watch them. I got to think the students are getting out there with all these young guys, and the students are going to get behind them the rest of the way now that school's kind of going back strong again. And I think the next few home games should be really exciting.
A little bit of a change of pace on what we're talking about, Jason. I believe that the TAC video board will be done for next season. I know everybody thought it was going to happen this season. from what I understand, it should happen for next season, which is a big deal. Also, Populous, the architect firm hired for Quest for Excellence, the South End Zone project inside of Joe Ice Stadium, will be in Ruston this week to finalize the design for the end zone facility.
You get that basketball scoreboard in, and you get that the building started. Just started. Break the ground, get some kind of mortar slinging, concrete flying, something on football, and you think we're excited about recruiting this year. A year from now?
And then you add on for basketball, you add on to that Memorial Gym. They have their own practice facility now, and it is nice. I want to see what they did with the paint palette, if you will, the color palette of the design of the court itself in Memorial Gym. I want to see that done inside the TAC. It's nice and simple. You don't get a headache when you look at it.
You don't like the giant logo in the middle.
Or the gradient, the color gradient in the lanes.
Yeah. I'll tell you what I really hated was back in the day, the big, hit the 28-foot lines, the big Sunbelt logo, the big yellow sun. I'm glad to see that gone. I can't wait to see some Conference USA logos.
On that note, they've got to repaint the lanes either. Anyway, they got to get a new logo in there. At the same time, repaint it. Get a new design. I think Joe Dirt's with me. That court looks like it's straight out of the 80s, and it's brand new. Not brand new, but it's less than 5 years old.
Yeah, a few years old. I'm with you. Change is good.
Change. Yeah. Speaking to the microphone.
I'm with you. Change is good.
So many people in the tech community, change scares. Change is good. Change is not always good. Majority of the time it is, though. It's a change of pace. It's fresh blood.
But we're definitely seeing some things happening with the facilities for both sports. And obviously, the video board to help women's basketball, too. The new facility.
And baseball, they've got a new the new locker room dugout is being built right now.
Yeah, the concrete blocks are already up. They're about to start bricking them. But you've got now softball and soccer right there beside each other, and tennis across the street, and obviously track and fields right there. So this new facility is going to have offices for those four women's sports. They'll have a central place they can go. They're not going to be down in the dungeon of the TAC anymore. That's going to be great for those four sports, for their recruiting, and just logistics. So, I mean, it's going to be great for all sports.
And then baseball will be in the stadium now. Well, at the baseball stadium, right? They're going to have an office. So Coach Semino won't have to have an office in the TAC.
Yeah, go across the street. These two changes, the scoreboard and this new addition, will affect.
They're game changers.
Yeah, for all the sports, at least 90% of them.
One thing that will have to be done whenever they do put the video board in, they're going to have a video production room. You and I were talking about this on the phone this week. And they're, from what I understand, running the cabling from Joe Ice Stadium and the TAC is going to go into one central place so they can produce the games, the content that goes on the video boards, from one place. So there will be a staff addition in the next few months, maybe a year, hopefully not a year, few months, for a video production person. So be on the lookout for that if you're a talented video production person and a tech alum and wanting to get back to Ruston. That'll will be available. Jason, good show.
It's fun. Obviously, appreciate Coach Holtz coming on. Love talking basketball, football, recruiting.
Glad Casey can come in. Casey's going to be a good addition to the show.
Yeah, the legacy right there. You know, sounds just like his dad.
In case you're wondering, that is Teddy Allen's son. The man, the myth, the legend, Teddy Allen's son.
He did great.
He did a wonderful job. He'll be back with us. We don't have a whole lot of shows left of this season. We'll be back in the fall as well. Going to go through February. But join us next week. Same time, same place. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7.
Listen Tuesdays at 6 p.m. for Bleed Tech Blue, the only all-La Tech sports radio show in Louisiana. This is ESPN Radio.